There's a Christian revival happening right now. God is moving in hearts all around the world. And one app that's been such a beautiful part of this is Hallow, with over 23 million downloads helping people grow closer to God through prayer. This month, Hallow is teaming up with the YouVersion Bible app and other Christian organizations for Global Bible Month. Yeah, you heard that right. A worldwide invitation to spend 30 days in God's Word. And as we head into the holidays, this is the perfect time to make Scripture a daily habit. So join the 30-day Bible Story Challenge on Hallow, featuring stories voiced by Lauren Daigle, Jonathan Rumi, Father Mike Schmitz, and more. Come join millions around the world for Global Bible Month and download Hallow for free at hallow.com/Mari. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ever Be. Today, we're going to chat about dinner parties and hosting and all the things that I've learned over the last few months of hosting monthly dinner parties and why I love it so much, what my process is, what I've learned, and just some practical tips to help you do it too. Hey, guys. Coming to you from Mexico. So a little behind the scenes talk. I have been recording episodes kind of more ahead of time to try and get them recorded and everything. So I'm not like posting them super late. But at first I was also recording my Everbe moments ahead of time. And then I recorded like 5 episodes in 1 week and I was like, I'm out of Everbe moments for the week. There's only so many things that the Lord does. Not that he is limited, but we're limited to noticing those things, right? And so now I'm kind of shifting to recording Everbe moments kind of weekly so I can share like actual updated things. So anyways, I'm in Mexico, but I believe today's episode is all about hosting dinner parties, which was recorded before this moment. But anyways, that just gives you a little behind the scenes on it. Let's kick it off with Everbe moments to start off today's episode. And today's Everbe moment goes back to the spiritual book I'm reading, I Believe in Love. So I think I've mentioned it before on an Everbe moments. And I'm just going to bring it back to it because it has so many good nuggets, so many good nuggets. And what I read recently was that the biggest way we can love the Lord is to give him a full surrender based on our full confidence in him. And what he does to reward us, this is the kicker, you guys, what he does to reward those souls that have full confidence in him is to give them a greater opportunity for confidence. I think at first you might be reading that like, that's not really cool, God. Like, I already gave you my confidence. Why are you testing me even more? But true faith is always going to be tested, and true love for the Lord is always going to be tested for the sake of purification and sanctification, which is the end goal, right? So at first when I was reading it, I was kind of like put off by it. I'm like, that's rude. And then Saint Therese like brought it all back, and she was just like, don't you want your soul to be refined? Don't you want to have greater confidence in him? And that one step of confidence opens the door for a greater step of confidence because you already took that first step all the way until you continue giving, right? Steps of greater confidence until you get to the end and the Lord looks at you and he's able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And when I read that, it's like every worry and anger towards this reality like melted away. And I was like, gosh, what I would give to get to that moment, to be received into the gates of heaven and know that I made it to eternity and the Lord can look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of the things I did and performed, but because of my faith and surrender and confidence in God. That's the difference, right? It's about our faith and surrender and confidence in God, in love himself, in the Creator. And it's less about
doing all the right things. Obviously, faith and works go together, but I think the harder thing to do is to be true of the heart. That's harder than doing good works on the outside, right? So that's my Ever Be moment for today. I hope you take that to prayer. Some of you may wrestle with it a little bit like I did, but I know that it has really refined my heart even in the last week that I've been sitting with it. All right, let's get into the episode.
In case you haven't seen on my Instagram or don't know much about this, I have been hosting monthly dinner parties since May, and it has become, honestly, one of my favorite practices to do. We started it in May, and I decided to host a themed dinner party every month for a full year. And this isn't just like casual dinners, but really intentionally curated evenings rooted in beauty and seasonality, community, faith, food, each one with its own theme, menu, and atmosphere. The heart behind it all for me was simple. I wanted to build more community in a deeper and more intentional way. I wanted to evangelize through our home and mostly just grow in the skills of homemaking and hosting, because I've learned that hospitality really is something that you develop over time, and it's a gift. And opening our home regularly has now just become such a beautiful way to create a space for people to feel welcome, seen, and gathered, and to also just give people like a really fun time, honestly. I think that in our season of life where we don't have kids right now, we have a little bit more freedom, a little bit more time, a little bit more flexibility to spend time growing in these skills, learning to make elaborate recipes, spending the time cooking it, decorating, all that stuff. And so we're taking advantage of this freedom that we have right now to really love on our friends and family and provide for them a really fun, intentional, curated, and elevated experience. One of the biggest realizations that I've had this year is that hospitality is a spiritual gift and charism, and it evangelizes without ever needing a speech. Like, the Catholic home is meant to be a domestic church in itself, right? Which means that our tables are a place of encounter, of gathering, of connecting with one another, and honestly, the light of Christ within each of us and dwelling in our home. And by opening our doors to other people, we can share that light of Christ with others. We can help them feel that love, that intentionality, that generosity that the Lord has with us, and we can extend that to the people that we welcome into our home. And I know for a lot of people, hosting can be a little bit intimidating. And I think it wasn't too long ago, I recorded an episode with Emily Chapman on her cookbook, Around the Catholic Table. And to be completely honest, I can't remember if that episode comes out before or after this one. So if it comes out after, stay tuned. It's coming soon. If it already came out, then you already know what I'm talking about. But one distinction that she makes in that book is entertaining versus hospitality and how there is a difference. And I had never heard about that before. And so I want to share a little bit about that in case maybe you didn't listen to that episode or got to that part. Entertaining is a little bit more about like putting on a show in a sense, right? Versus hospitality is really just about loving the people in front of you. Now, I feel like that gives entertaining kind of a bad look. So I really want to blend like the best of both and find the marriage between both, because that's essentially what we're trying to do with these dinner parties. One, like I said, we're trying to build more friendships. Like, we're relatively new to the area. I mean, it's our third year, but building community takes a long time. And so we want to cultivate friendships, and we want to be generous with our time and our home and just create a space where people can reconnect in more intentional ways while also entertaining, right? Like, it has both in it. It has that hospitality aspect, and we love to entertain. But if you listen to that episode I did with Emily, you'll hear a lot more of the kind of heart behind hospitality without having to entertain. If that's not something that you like to do, or that fits stressful, or if you just feel like it's just not your style to like cook an elaborate meal and do a whole tablescape, that's totally fine. You don't need to do that to be hospitable and welcome people into your home and be intentional and evangelize with your home, right? So today's episode is going to be a little bit more on the entertainment side, but I just want to remind you that it does come with a heart of loving others. I love creating a beautiful atmosphere and an elevated experience, not to show off, honestly, but honestly, because I just genuinely enjoy the process and I enjoy blessing people through all the thoughtful details of the night, the table setting, the lighting, the menu, the music. All of that for me is so much fun. It's a creative expression for me, and it's become a hobby that I love and that I love sharing with my friends and family. So yeah, and right now in this season before children, I have the margin to entertain more and I love it. And it brings me joy to make something feel special for the people that I love. And I feel like, you know, I've grown so much as a hostess in these last few months of doing dinner parties. Hosting month after month has actually made me more confident in these skills, more confident in the kitchen and preparing a full menu and being creative with food, in pacing a night and knowing the timing of things and decorating a table and creating an atmosphere with light, scent, and sound and music. And it's really, really made me realize so much how hospitality absolutely is a skill set. And yes, it's a charism, but also it can be learned and it can grow through repetition. You come to learn timing of the night and of the dishes that are coming out. You learn what stresses you out and what you can actually prep ahead. You learn what makes people feel comfortable the moment they walked in, what is an icebreaker for the room when there's guests that maybe don't know each other and are meeting for the first time. You learn how to put together a theme that makes everything come together. And over time, the more you practice it, it becomes more natural and joyful instead of intimidating or stressful. And that to say, you don't even need a theme, right? Like, I'm just doing this for fun, putting themes to our dinner parties, but you can host a gathering or a dinner party without any theme, right? I just think it's super fun. So why not add a theme when you can? Themed parties are so much more fun, in my opinion, which is clearly why I'm doing it. But let me just give you a walkthrough of our dinner party so far so you can kind of paint a picture in your mind of what it's looked like and get ideas for different themes that we've done, the food, all the stuff. So I'll walk you through each one because each dinner has had its own truly like personality and look and all the things. So in May, this was our very first one. It was a Marian Reverie dinner party. We kicked it off with a Marian themed dinner for the month of May, which is the month of Mary. And the table was so stunning. It was just delicate and feminine. It had light blues and soft whites and floral tablecloth and beautiful these like little bud vases all throughout the middle with like hydrangeas and roses, just very like regal florals for Mary. I believe we served ricotta little toasts. What are those called? Oh, crostinis. Ricotta crostinis with pistachios and honey, a spring pea and asparagus salad, a lemon herb whole roasted chicken. And I think that was served on orzo. And then we did berries with homemade whipped cream for dessert. It was so yummy. It was a beautiful time to celebrate Mary. We talked about like Mary and God moments at the table. Mary and God moments, that doesn't make any sense. Moments where Mary has worked in our life. We kind of just all went around and shared those at the table. And it made for a really beautiful and intentional conversation. And that was May. And it was a great way to kick off these dinner parties. Then in June, given that it was the month of the Sacred Heart, I couldn't have a dinner dedicated to Mary and not one for Jesus. So June is the month of the Sacred Heart. And so this dinner was centered around Christ's love poured out for us, his Sacred Heart. And it was called a Sacred Heart Supper. The table had a lot warmer of tones. It had like a brown tan tablecloth with reds throughout the food. If I remember correctly, we had like a cherry tomato and burrata board for an appetizer. We had, I believe it was like a pomegranate spritz as the drink, potatoes au gratin for a side with a steak with a red wine reduction sauce. Oh, and for the salad, we had a blood orange and beet salad served on a bed of a Greek yogurt whipped base. Oh my gosh, it was so good, you guys. It was delicious. And the whole tablescape in the middle had red fruits. It had grapes. It had pomegranates that I cut in the middle and set on like facing up so that the juice didn't, well, I dried them off, but so there wasn't any dripping onto the tablecloth, but you could like see the seeds in it. And then I poked little red carnations throughout the food, like throughout the fruits to kind of fill the centerpiece. And it was just stunning. It was gorgeous. Very Sacred Heart-y. Oh my gosh. And the dessert was these amazing homemade strawberry chocolate truffles. And those were a hit. We served it with espresso and it was just So, so, so good. July was a really fun one. This has been one of my favorites so far. I think the prep of the food was just really fun and the whole concept was a little bit creative. And I kind of feel like this would be an easy one for somebody who is afraid of cooking an elaborate meal because it's all cold foods. So you don't really need to be skilled in the kitchen, but you do need to dedicate time. This probably had the most prep out of all of them, just the longest amount of time that it took to prep everything because there's a lot of chopping involved. But for July, we did a party called Gingham and Grazing, and it was actually a lunch party instead of a dinner party. It was a summer elevated picnic. So I kind of thought of like, what is a picnic like and how do we take that to the next level? It was outdoors. We set up a dinner table out on our patio with a gingham tablecloth and some wildflower looking flowers all throughout the middle. We used lots of fresh produce and veggies, cheeses, and bread, really like grazing style food. It was still elevated, but yet it was also playful at the same time. So let's see. I served everything at the same time instead of doing like different courses. I just like set it all out on our island. And I did, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to try and remember. I did charcuterie board with a ton of different cheeses and meats and grapes. And then we did a Parmesan caper pasta salad. It was so delicious. I know there were more things in there. I think there was like walnuts and pine nuts. It was probably my favorite one. Oh yeah, all on arugula. So really, really good. And then we did an assortment of different like mini sandwiches. We had a almond Moroccan chicken with cucumber. And then we had a caprese one. And then we did a ham, goat cheese, and fig jam sandwich. And some of them were open-faced. Some of them were double bread, just depending on how heavy it was or what kind of bread we used. If it was like a focaccia that was thicker, we just did an open face because it's a lot of bread. And then we did a watermelon feta salad with dill and cucumber. Oh my gosh, that was also delicious. And then I did a bumbleberry pie, which is actually just a fancy word for mixed berry pie. And so that pie was absolutely a hit. It was perfect for a summer afternoon and just kind of made it like a fun tribute to a traditional picnic, but a little bit more elevated. Then in August, we had Dolce Vita. This is when we went all Italian, but more than a meal, it became a whole experience. Trey and I went to Italy in our first year of marriage we went around Europe for like 3 weeks, but our favorite part of the trip was Italy. And we took an Italian cooking class and they taught us how to make all these different dishes for the night. And so we kept those recipes and we recreated that whole experience here at our house. So we made fresh pasta together as part of the evening and we taught our friends how to make pasta from scratch. And that was so much fun. It was very interactive, big icebreaker for people to get to know each other and meet and just build conversation. The table was really simple. It just had these glass candlesticks with white candlestick tapers, right? Taper candles, and then white tea light candles in those glass candlesticks in candle tea light holders. So really simple. And then I did a green and white thin striped linen tablecloth, which I thought like just gave a little bit of an Italian flair, and really beautiful green floral plates to serve the food on. We had bruschetta, fresh bruschetta, so good. We had Chianti wine. We made the fresh pasta and made a ragu sauce that Trey made and let simmer for like 3 hours. So all those flavors meld together. We had a little bit of an arugula salad with lemon and Parmesan on the side, really simple. And then homemade tiramisu, which I served in these little like coupe, like martini glasses or like cocktail glasses, not martini, like cocktail glasses, just to kind of elevate the serving experience. So every serving was served on its own in each of the glasses. And it was so fun. It was honestly just such an experience. I had an incredible Italian music night playlist that I found on Spotify that just carried the whole vibe throughout the night. And I didn't have to like think about the music once. Those are the best kind of playlists for hosting. And the night was just such a great reminder that people don't just like love to just come and eat good food, but they actually really enjoy the process of like helping you put it together. And you can even make it like a whole experience. So that led me to have an idea for my September dinner party, which was also kind of a workshop style. September's dinner party was called Apples and Aprons, and I did this one for my Bible study. So it was an all-girls party, and it was just as fall was kind of beginning. So we turned it into an apple pie making workshop. Because this time my budget wasn't going towards food and hosting an elaborate dinner, I put my budget towards fun little props that would make the experience a little bit more personal and more exciting. So I got everybody matching aprons. I actually got them from Temu, and I think they were like $9 each from Temu. You can also get them on Amazon, the ones that I have, and I can try and link them and link other things in the show notes if I can find them. I think on Amazon they were like $14 or something, but they're these like really cute homesteady linen aprons with a tie that you can like wrap around and then cute little pockets on either side. It looked very cottagey, which was kind of the vibe I was going for. And then I bought these mini ceramic pie dishes. And that way everybody could make their own mini pie. So we all wore aprons, the house smelled like cinnamon and apples, and it was just this like nostalgic, homemaking, cottagey like energy that we had in the group. And it was so fun for the girls to all just have an activity that was like a fall themed to do together, but then also just spend time together building friendship. Every Sacred Sunday just released an heirloom quality coffee table style catechism, and it is stunning, you guys. It is the full text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, all 536 pages, thoughtfully designed with over 100 curated beautiful images from other Catholic photographers. So the beauty of the church isn't just read through this catechism, it's seen and it's prayed with. This is the kind of book you want to leave out on your table to spark conversation, reflection, and deeper prayer. It's bound in a gorgeous cloth hardcover, intentionally made to last, something that I know I'm going to be reaching for years and one day pass on. And with every purchase, you'll also receive a free companion ebook called The Truth and Beauty Project, which walks through the inspiration and the artwork behind its design. So if you've been longing for a more beautiful way to engage with church teaching, something that just feels gorgeous, beautiful, stunning, and sacred in your hands, this is such a gift to bring into your home or to gift somebody this coming Christmas and holiday season. So click the link in the show notes and use code EVERBE for a discount at checkout. West Coast Catholic is doing Christmas good this year, you guys. The West Coast Catholic Christmas Market has officially launched. It is your one-stop shop for a beautifully, unmistakably Catholic Christmas. This is a project we've been working on for a while. It's got so many products in this Christmas market, and I'm so excited to invite you to fill your home with pieces that draw your heart to Christ and reflect the beauty of our faith and the true meaning of Christmas. Inside the Christmas market, you're going to find Christmas ornaments to adorn your tree with sacred meaning, double-sided Catholic-designed gift wrap that are like premium quality level gift wrap, for presents that you're going to give with love under the tree. You're going to find our modern Advent wreath stand with Advent candles that are made out of 100% beeswax. And fun fact, the tallest one has 100-hour burn time. Yeah, it's that good. You also are going to find the Nativity Christmas sweater, which is a cozy, classic, and Christ-centered Christmas sweater with the Nativity scene on it. It is so cute. You're going to wear it to all your Christmas parties this year. Framed winter art to bring peace and reverence and a Christmas spirit to your walls. There is a Saint Nick one, and then there is a baby Jesus in the manger one. Beautifully illustrated Christmas cards that you can send to friends and family, and a fun new nativity mug. It is the coziest looking mug with a fun Christmas sweatery design to it, and I know this one's going to be a fave. Plus, of course, our beloved nativity set is back this year, as well as our Star Bethlehem Rosary that comes back every Advent and Christmas. And just a reminder, all of these designs are unique to West Coast Catholic. You won't find these anywhere else. I design everything myself, so these aren't products that you can get anywhere else. The collection is limited, and when stock is out, it is out, and it's not coming back this year. So make sure that you don't miss it. Go shop now at westcoastcatholic.co and make this Christmas one that truly reflects the celebration of the newborn King. And it was just such a good like kickoff to fall. It was very transitional from summer to fall. So that was fun. And then October, that is what I'm doing right now. So I'm recording this the day before my October dinner party, and that one is going to be candlelit and cozy. And I'm envisioning this like slow, soft, cozy, like soup dinner. I think I'm going to do a creamy gnocchi soup. I am going to do a homemade sourdough shaped into like a pumpkin. I've just seen it all over Instagram and I really want to do it. Which that reminds me, my sourdough needs to be stretched and folded right now, and I haven't done that in hours. So hopefully that one survives. We'll have to get back to that and see how that goes.
Sure.
For tablescape, I'm going to do a simple white linen tablecloth, and then I'm going to fill the middle with pillar candles. I got a huge set of pillar candles from Amazon, and I'm so excited to just have like a ton of candles in the middle. I just want the night to feel like really unhurried, really nourishing and slow and just cozy, because October just, I feel like, invites us to a slower rhythm and prepares us for the winter. So that's kind of what I want this whole dinner to reflect. Whew. Okay. I'm like out of breath going through every single one of those, but that was fun. Hopefully that gives you like a good idea of just like how creative you can be and how fun it can be. Each month really has just carried its own theme and tone, but overall has accomplished the same thing and has had the same mission. And that's to create a space where people feel at home, feel loved on, feel special. So yeah, I hope that that was inspirational for you and you can take one of those, like literally copy me. I don't care. Like take exactly what I did for one of them and recreate it at your house and let me know how it is. I want to know how it is. Okay. But I do want to let you in on a little bit of my process of how I plan each dinner in case that would be helpful for you if you really just want to hear like the process from scratch, from start to finish. So my process usually begins with a theme that's either rooted in the month or the liturgical season or something seasonal. And then I build that theme around that, right? And so once I decide on a theme, ChatGPT has been so helpful for me. So like I'll put like all my ideas into ChatGPT and it'll help me come up with like a fun, cute name. So once I have like a theme and a fun name for the dinner party night, everything else flows from there. The menu, the tablescape, the colors and the textures of the night, and even the invitation, because I've made digital invitations on Canva and then just texted them out to my friends. And so I kind of break it down into three pillars. I have the atmosphere, which is the lighting, the music, the scent, the tone, like the feel of the night. We have the table, which is the tablescape, right? And like the linens, napkins, and any natural elements or decor pieces that you're going to bring in through the center of the table. And then you have the menu and you choose the different courses or different dishes that you're going to make that are thoughtfully made around the theme. When I start with the atmosphere, Pinterest is like my best friend. Once I have my theme and my month and maybe even a color scheme in mind, I start looking on Pinterest for inspiration and I pin it all to a board called Monthly Dinner Party. And I just have all my dinner parties on that one board. And I start pinning different ideas for like colors, textures, looks, decor props, as well as food dishes. And I just like put it all together in one place. Then I see what do I already have at home that I can use or what natural elements can I use so I don't have to buy a bunch of like decor pieces. So like buying produce as decor or flowers as decor is a lot cheaper than like buying like fancy trays and different, I don't know, props. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like I've still bought things. Like I've bought like colored taper candles. You know what I mean? But I maybe already had candlesticks at my house. Like I try and do a little bit of both. But I try and see what I have at home first. And then I go out and see, do I have budget to like add a couple more elements and just buy a couple more props or a new tablecloth or whatever to kind of really hone in on the theme and tie it all together. And then for the menu, we usually do like a signature drink and an appetizer. And we usually serve those as people are walking in. And then we have a salad, a main dish, and a side dish. And that all kind of happens at the same time when we sit down for dinner. And then we chat for a while, and then we'll bring out dessert and usually some decaf espresso at the end of the night as well, which people love. And I just try and come up with dishes that match the season and just try and really think of flavors and flavor profiles and produce and, yeah, just different tastes and palates that I feel like match each season of the year that we're in, right? So like spring, maybe it's more bright and florally or like more veggie focused, whereas like fall might be more like cozy and rich and you know, buttery or, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. All in all, guests can feel when something has been prepared with intention. And I think it's also been beautiful to see friends learn to receive that. Cause I think at first, like, I've definitely had people be like, oh my gosh, you didn't have to do this for us. Like, this is so much work. Like, I'm so sorry. You did not have to do this. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I invited you to this dinner party. Like, I chose to put the work in. I wanted to do this for you. I wanted you to feel special. I wanted to love you. And it's also just an opportunity for people to learn to receive love from their friends. Okay. Let's talk some practical hosting tips. These are tips that I feel like I have recognized that have really helped for a really good flow of the night. Just different things that I've caught on to that just make the night go really well. So number one is ambient lighting. It is so important and is such an easy thing that you can do that makes such a difference. So lamps or candles, anything that's a soft glow gives pretty much instant warmth to the table and to the room. And I usually prefer that over like the stark overhead lighting. Now, if you don't have any other lamps or soft lighting, that's okay. You can use your overhead lighting, but just by adding candles to your table, it kind of brings in a little bit more of that soft glow. Tip number two would be invest in a set of fabric napkins. This honestly is a small upgrade that makes a big difference and makes you feel like you're in a restaurant or makes you feel like you're at an elevated dinner party. You honestly can get them on Amazon or Target for pretty cheap, depending on like the material that you get. Like if you get like 100% linen from like Crate and Barrel, they can be really expensive. You don't need that. You can literally get the ones from Target, and I really don't think it's that expensive, and just make that investment one time and then you have a set. If you're only going to get one, if you're like, I can't have a million different types of fabric napkins, I only want one, I recommend a dark color because that way they don't stain easily over time. And yeah, stains will just get masked really easily or won't show up. So I have a pair of chocolate brown ones because, I mean, if you know by now, I'm obsessed with chocolate brown. I'm literally wearing a chocolate brown sweater on this recording, which if you're watching video, you can see it. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. Fabric napkins, if you're going to buy one set, buy a dark set. Tip number three, always include dessert. Dessert is just like a delightful extra little treat that most people don't actually expect nowadays. I feel like so often we go to people's houses for dinner and there's no dessert. And it's not that it's an expectation, but I feel like it used to be more of a thing. And it definitely just makes the night way more special. So always include a dessert. And desserts are often things that you can make ahead, or there's like so many options of desserts that you can make ahead. And so you could even do that the day before so you don't have to add more work to your cooking the day of. Tip five is think of some conversation prompts. This is a next level hostess move, which requires you having a little bit more thoughtfulness about your guests. Who are the people that are coming over? Thinking about like what's been going on in their life recently, or what do I wonder about them? Or is there a commonality in their life and the other guests that we have or our life? And kind of think of a few conversation prompts that you can bring up throughout the night when maybe conversation gets stale, or maybe to help people connect with each other that don't know each other. It's just a really simple trick, but it really creates for meaningful connections throughout the night. And it shows that you really care about them and really were thoughtful about them. Tip six is natural elements. I love including natural elements into the tablescape. I think it's a really simple way to elevate the table without having to spend a bunch of money. And it just makes it look so beautiful and gives it texture, which I love adding texture. So this can be flowers or branches or produce or fruit or yeah, just different things like that that are just natural elements that you can bring into the table. Pair it with some candlesticks or a beautiful tablecloth or textured placemats, and it'll all just look amazing. Then my last tip for you is music. This isn't like super necessary, but I feel like it really just breaks the ice and brings the whole environment like full circle. When we touch on like all the senses, touch, see, feel, and hear, it creates a whole experience. So some soft music in the background that doesn't take away from the conversation, but kind of adds a little bit of like a melody if there's any moments of silence or just to kind of set the tone for the night is really, really helpful. I honestly don't do a lot of work beforehand to try and find these. I don't have my own playlist. I just like search something up on Spotify and I use a Spotify playlist. And Maybe I have just been lucky. I haven't really had trouble with them, but anything like slow dinner party or evening dinner party or chill dinner party or like autumn dinner party, or you can even do instrumental or like jazz Christmas if you're going to do like a Christmassy one. Like, yeah, just something soft that you can just play in the background really makes a difference. Now, I want to speak to the woman who feels like, I love this, but I'm just not ready. Okay. We're going to get rid of all these lies today because you are ready and you can do it. And if you feel like your home isn't perfect, we're just going to get that right out, because I feel like that is a barrier for so many people. Like, oh, my home isn't ready yet, or it's not good enough, or it's not perfect. That is not a barrier to hospitality. People are not there for polished perfection. They're not going to remember all the perfect details that you had. They're going to remember how you made them feel. They're going to remember feeling joyful and comfortable and at ease. They're going to remember being thought of and being loved and being seen when you host them in your home. So you don't actually need the perfect menu. You don't need a huge, beautiful, like designer grade home, fancy dishware, right? All you need is the courage to open your home and open the door and give your time. And then if you love to entertain, have fun with it. Don't let it stress you out, but have fun with it. Have fun with the menu that you create, the way that you decorate your home, but don't stress about it being perfect, okay? Promise me you'll do that, because I really think more people should host. I think that that used to be something that was more of a thing. People would just casually go over to each other's houses or host parties or host dinners. And that, I feel like, just doesn't happen anymore. And I think so many of us feel like welcoming people into our home is such a vulnerable thing. Like, they're going to see our mess. They're going to see what our home is like. This is like our sacred space. And it is. But it really takes a friendship to the next level when you can have people over at your house and even make it a standard that your house is always open, that your doors are always open whenever people want to come over, whenever they need to host for different things, and just to show the generosity and that love that you have for the community around you. So yeah, this is my encouragement for you to host more. People will appreciate it so much. And just one caveat there, just because you start hosting more doesn't mean people will start hosting you, okay? So don't do it to try and get it in return. Do it to just love the people around you, and even to set a standard of like, how beautiful would it be if we all opened the doors of our home and hosted each other and loved on each other in different ways? All right, that's my spiel there. But basically, if your heart has been nudging you towards gathering people, let this be your encouragement. You can even start simple. Soup is so easy. Soup and bread. Some candles, invite just one couple or one friend over, and just watch how bringing people together can be such a beautiful way to evangelize and to show the love of Christ and create community for you and your family. This episode has been so much fun, you guys. I love just sitting here and chatting about the things that I love and that I'm doing in my life. And I hope that it was helpful. As always, you know, I'm always trying to give you like tactical and like tangible tips for you to take away and implement into your life to live a more beautiful, intentional, Christ-centered life. So cannot wait to hear about all the fun dinner parties you're going to start hosting. Send me DMs, send me pics of what you host, ask me any questions. I had a couple people over the summer, once I started posting these dinner parties, send me ideas of like, oh, I want to host one. What do you think about this? Or like, what kind of dish would go with this meal? And I loved giving my input. So if that's you, feel free to reach out in my DMs. And that's all I have for you. Let's move into Ever Be Answers. All right. Welcome to Ever Be Answers.
We are in a different location.
We are in Mexico recording these today. And if you're on Patreon, you get to see the video and you see just a snippet of what the beach looks like. We couldn't fully put the beach in the background because the sun was behind us, but you can see a little bit of what it looks like. It's beautiful, right, Trey?
Yes, it is gorgeous. This is an incredible beach.
Also, I just realized I said welcome to Ever Be Answers, and if you're on Patreon, but like, this is the after party. So everybody's on Patreon and it's the after party.
All right.
It's not Ever Be Answers.
Because the Ever Be Answer is you'd be doing by yourself.
Yeah, but do you just want to do it with me?
I can do it with you.
All right. Then it is Ever Be Answers. Welcome, yeah. Everybody.
Welcome.
What are you drinking?
Surprise guest. Just black coffee. Some extremely black coffee.
So boring.
Yes.
I'm drinking a whipped coffee, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, I just had a sip. It was very good.
It's very good. All right. We have the questions on Trey's phone today. So let's pull them up. So the three questions we're going to be answering today are, do you have tips for getting into fasting and making it more part of your life outside of Lent? And then for hosting themed dinner parties, is there a lot of items that you reuse over the years, or do you typically buy a lot of new stuff for parties, or is it a little bit of both? And then the last question is also about the themed dinner parties. What inspired you to start hosting them? Which themes have been some of your favorites? I love how you share some of them on Instagram, and I'm curious how you got started hosting them. So I think today on Everbee Answers, let's answer, is there a lot of items that you reuse over the years, or do you typically buy a lot of new stuff for themed dinner parties, or is it a little bit of both? So it is a little bit of both. I have borrowed things from my mother-in-law, Trey's mom, because she has everything. So
yeah, she's a great cook, loves to cook, and
loves to host.
Has over the years accumulated a lot of things. So
yeah, a lot of like kitchen gadgets, a lot of dinnerware and tableware and tablecloths. She has a whole collection of tablecloths. So sometimes I shop there. And one of my favorite pieces was the floral tablecloth that we had for our May dinner party, the Marian Reverie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was stunning. I tried to find the exact one online, but they don't sell it anymore. So it was sad. I think it was Pottery Barn or something. So maybe you could find a similar one. But that one was absolutely gorgeous. And then my other fave that I borrowed from your mom, it has to be for our October dinner party, Candlelit and Cozy. She has a pumpkin-shaped
stob.
Like Dutch oven, but literally shape of a pumpkin. If you go back to my Instagram, you'll see in the recap video what it looks like. It's so cute. And so we served the butternut squash soup in there. And it just like was such a unique element. So some things I have borrowed and some things I have purchased, some things I already have at my house. So let's see, things that I've purchased. Candles I've purchased a lot because I didn't have a lot of candles. And for some of the parties, I wanted specific color. So for the Marian party in May, I wanted like a dusty blue and I didn't have that. So I bought that on Amazon. And then for October, wow, these are the two that are really getting featured right now. I bought like the tall pillar candles and like the ribbed pillar candles. I will say those were a bit of an investment. Those pillar candles were kind of expensive. So I almost didn't buy them. But then I was like, I loved the centerpiece idea so much that I was like, I have to have them. And I feel like we can use them for so many different types of parties and hosting down the road because they don't burn very quickly at all. And so I figured it would just be a long-term hosting investment. Yeah.
And then we've bought like gold silverware. I think you just got those off Amazon.
I ended up getting the ones at Target.
Oh,
the threshold ones at Target.
From Target.
Yeah.
And those have been great because we bought them once, and I think every single dinner party we've used
them.
And every time we host, regardless if it's a dinner party or not, we've reused those. So
yeah,
if you're looking to buy something that's like a staple
yeah.
that you can reuse, the silverware is one that we reused every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We bought these like fun, cute cocktail glasses.
Yes, we bought that from the beginning
every
too.
Single time as yeah. well, which is super cute and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, those staples are so good to invest in because we've used them every single time. Part of this whole thing too, for me, has felt like a good reason to kind of build up that like hosting essentials or like dinner party, like accessories, because we love hosting. We love having people at our house. We want our home to be a place that always has doors open. And so for us, we know long-term we're going to be doing this for a while. And so we want to like build up those things like serving platters or beautiful plates or like fun cocktail glasses. Those are things that were important to us. So we just invested in those in the beginning. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll catch the rest of you at the actual after party to answer the rest of the questions. If you're not on Patreon already and you want to join in, make sure you click the link in the show notes to become part of the Kingdom Club. We'll see you there.
See ya.
Can I just say something? Switching to non-toxic products can be expensive, and it's hard to try a new brand out when the price tag is stretching the budget a little bit. But can I also say something else? I'm sick of every beauty brand being filled with hormone-disrupting and cancer-causing ingredients. So to me, it's really important to make the effort where I can. But I have good news for you, friend, because Black Friday begins right now. The only non-toxic makeup and skincare brand that I use that actually performs like luxury-level beauty products without the harmful ingredients is running a major sale right now, up to 50% off all skincare products. So either if you want to try Crunchy for the first time or you're ready to stock up on your favorite clean beauty products, now is the time. I recommend you shop early in the sale because things sell out every year. You can go to crunchy.com/MariWagner or just find the link in the show notes to start your clean beauty journey. And if you want specific recommendations on your skincare, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at mari.c.wagner, and I'll be happy to help you find the right routine for you. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at everbepodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.